You've heard the word of the Lord from our first scripture lesson, 1 Kings 3, 5 to 12. I'll read that again interspersed in the sermon itself. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, open thou my heart to hear, and through thy word to me draw near. Let me thy word e'er pure retain, let me thy child and heir remain. Amen. In the name of Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, dearly redeemed. This year, there were many virtual graduations. But don't worry, Adam and all of our other graduates, you did really graduate. It's real. I'm praying for our graduates, especially Christian graduates all over the world, that God will give them this special blessing that Solomon is praying for here in his youth, and take them into servant leadership fields, like medicine, engineering, education, yes, politics, preaching and teaching. Because you have something, as the children of God Most High, that others outside the kingdom of God have no clue. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Why are we so surprised, dear Christian friends, in a world that has been fallen since the very beginning, nothing new under the sun, why are we surprised that those who do not even claim to worship God or believe that there is a God fail to act in wisdom for others instead of themselves? And why are we surprised when we Christians wander away from the fear of the Lord and find ourselves harming those we love in our worship relationships and our friends and family? But God is always there for us. His kindness never fails. He calls us back again and again to his loving heart with word and sacrament, and brings us closer to himself, time after time, challenge after challenge, so that he is teaching us, not just in theory as we learn in catechism class, but in real life, Scrabble, hard Scrabble experience to treasure loving kindness, especially here in this text, to treasure loving kindness in prayer. That's what you see in this gracious offer. I don't know about you, but I right away think of Aladdin's lamp. Remember those stories? Arabian Nights. He's got the lamp, the oil lamp, and he can rub it, and he gets three wishes, right? You notice how those stories always seem to go sideways? Whoever it is who has the three wishes asks for the wrong stuff and then always wishes he had another wish. Or the genie becomes such an ogre, you know, then everything goes sideways. I don't want to say south because we're up north and somebody in the south might be listening. But you know what I mean. It just, all they can come out of those stories with is the word of wisdom. Don't let the genie out of the bottle. But imagine, you're Solomon. Or just a young Christian starting off. And you've got challenges, you've got concerns, and you've got a blessing in the fear of the Lord that really comes down to such a gracious offer. It's a blank check from God. When Jesus was about to go to the cross to suffer and die for our sins, he said this several times. I'll just read a couple of these passages from John 14. In verse 13, Jesus says to his disciples, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And again, in chapter 15, very similar with these added thoughts, you did not choose me, my disciples, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will endure, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Whatever you ask. See, what we're hearing in this gracious offer in our text today from 1 Kings chapter 3 was not the first time that the Lord made this gracious offer. He wants us to learn to treasure his loving kindness in prayer. So again, imagine you're the new king, young Solomon. You haven't built a temple yet. So you find the most important of the high places and you go to Gibeon. And there the Lord appeared to Solomon at Gibeon in a dream at night. And God said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Just ask, the Lord said. Can you see at least the first point of this sermon? You have the same gracious offer as Solomon did. From God Almighty, infinite power, infinite love, and knew you by name. You did not choose me, but I chose you. That was in Romans 8, 32 and following, that second lesson today. Foreknew you, predestined you, called you, justified you, and one thing left to do for you yet. Glorify you. All God's plan. Just ask. Because we learn to treasure God's loving kindness in prayer through his gracious offer and through humble petition. Solomon said, you have shown great mercy and faithfulness to your servant, my father David, just as he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart toward you. You have shown him this great mercy and faithfulness to him and have given him a son who is seated on his throne to this very day. O Lord, my God, now you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And I, your servant, am among your people whom you have chosen, a great people who cannot be counted or numbered because they are so many. Now give to your servant a perceptive heart to judge your people, to distinguish between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? Humble in prayer. But you wonder, why is Solomon so intent on this humble petition when he's already shown himself to be humble? If you read the first few chapters of 1 Kings, he's gone through a coup attempt by his older brother and survived. His father dies. David is gone now. And Solomon carefully follows the dying instructions of his father to deal with leftover bureaucrats and generals who were bloodthirsty and wicked murderers from the previous administration. David could not always get rid of the evil ones either, but he told Solomon to do it. And Solomon has done it already. So what's the deal? Why does it seem like Solomon is really intent on such a prayer as this? If you're in a position of responsibility and you go through a time of great difficulty like we're in now, doesn't it kind of pull you up short and show you how short you are on resources at times? You just wish you could be somewhere else and not have to answer these hard questions when even the science isn't solid yet. It's hard. It's difficult. There were a lot of moving pieces in that kingdom for Solomon to deal with. Reminds me very much of what happens every year at our seminary. You get to graduation day as a senior, you've had 12 years of training in our synod, and you're ready to be called, and then ordained or into your first classroom, and all of a sudden it hits you really hard. I have so much to learn. Not a bad lesson for a young pastor, but it is really amazing how quickly that comes on you. You feel that as a graduate, and you feel that as graduates going into college and then advanced education or wherever the good Lord takes you. The more responsibility, the more you understand why Solomon is humbly praying this petition and asking the Lord, acknowledging great mercy and faithfulness that you've shown to your servant. Most of the time, they translate that Hebrew word with just one word. That's chesed. You hear me talk about that often because it's as common in the Old Testament, this chesed, as the grace of God in the New Testament. Chesed is usually loving kindness or just mercy, but here it's mercy and faithfulness to get this whole context. It's that quality in the heart of God that makes him look at miserable failures, like all the descendants of Adam and Eve. You've heard that story in medicine, haven't you? They spent billions of dollars to map the genome, followed the DNA all the way back. A few years back, they came to this awesome conclusion. All human DNA goes back to one male and female. And all the Christians, the Bible believers, just yawn and say, really? You spent billions of dollars? We could have told you that. But again and again, the science backs up what the Bible says, as long as we take the Bible for what it really says. Over time, super wise churchmen have tried to put their ideas on top, not paying attention to what the Bible says. But real science does not conflict with what the Bible actually says. Ah, Lord, give us humble hearts, humble petitions. That's what we need. And we need that chesed, which will make these promises that no one would ever think of, certainly not Adam and Eve in the garden, and then keep on repeating that promise over and over again so that no one would forget. And then finally, when it comes to time to pay up on that promise, sweating great drops of blood in the garden, you know, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he pays on the promise of chesed with his holy, precious blood. And you know that. You trust it. You are redeemed by that blood. And just having it given to you so freely and mercifully in your baptism and the holy sacrament, body and blood of the Lord given and shed for you, this is an awesome blessing. Solomon acknowledged that same chesed, that unfailing love of God, and you and I treasure that loving kindness in prayer as we pray for what Solomon asked for. In English, it says perceptive heart. One of our pastors was telling me how he was learning Chinese, which has all these different radicals. It's really not an alphabet. It's all pictures, and they have to learn how these radicals, these pictures all go together. And there was one very complicated one. I don't even remember what it was. And to say it, you have to memorize what those pictures are. But it was all the radicals together that basically come out as a wise king that has a heart with ears. This pastor friend of mine told his Chinese teacher, that's Solomon. That's what he prayed for. Literally in the Hebrew, lev shomea means a heart that hears. That's what we're praying for. Go back in the liturgy if you have time later today. Take your worship folder with you. Those of you that have it at home, look back. There's a reference to that earlier. This hearing heart. I think it's in the prayer of the day. The heart that hears. The heart with ears. The understanding. The justice with ears. That lead to the heart. I hope some of the little kids can maybe take a piece of paper and draw a heart with ears. I'd love to see those pictures. That's what you're asking for in humble petition. And this is how God feels about it. In the eyes of the Lord, Solomon's request was good. So God said to him, because you have asked for this, and you have not asked for long life, nor have you asked for riches, nor have you asked for the lives of your enemies. That would be three wishes, right? If they had Aladdin's lamp, that's what they kind of asked for. Nope, not that. No. You have asked for discernment, to reach just verdicts. Therefore, I will act according to your words. Yes, I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that you will never have anyone like you before you, nor anyone like you will rise up after you. These two Hebrew words here, one is wisdom and one is understanding. There's other ones like knowledge. You have to have knowledge. That's the data. That's literally the word in the Hebrew, datum. But the word for wisdom is being able to look at all this data and see how it all fits together. An architect can do that. See how it all fits together. Draw it up on paper. But pity the architect who never actually built anything, because he doesn't have what's called bean, the Hebrew word for understanding. Grandma said, use your bean. I always wonder if they knew Hebrew. But how does it fit together? So one architect, one time, drew up some plans for my boss, second floor, probably the only second floor building in Bend, Oregon at the time. Boss didn't go out and measure. That was an installation that should have taken about an hour and a half or 2 hours. We had to break every joint in that long cabinet to get it up around the single landing up to the second floor, beautiful carpeted office of the architect, and refinish. That means sand and refinish that cabinet on the floor of his office. Day and a half. The boss would have seen that. You build it in a couple sections, long face frame, done. Never again, he said. Never again. See, that's Bean. That's the guy out on the job site that looks at all this information that has been carefully put together. Oh, it looks good on paper. How does it work out there in real life? Solomon is understanding and praying for understanding, a heart with ears for real life. So right after the story, this is disgusting. But the Holy Spirit, again, pulls no punches in reality. Young Solomon is on the judgment seat because the kings were judges too, and two prostitutes come in, screaming at each other. Both claiming the live baby, both blaming each other for the dead baby. Can you imagine the gasp in the courtroom when Solomon calls for one of the soldiers to bring a sword and says, cut the baby in half? And one of the mothers just starts crying, spare his life, don't kill him. And the other one is still screaming, neither of us shall have it, kill the baby. And Solomon says, give the baby to the first woman. She's his mother. Wisdom. Real life. You see, without that wisdom and understanding, doesn't matter what position you come to in life, you forget so easily that you have only one heartbeat and one more breath left if the Lord God gives it to you. No matter how powerful you may think you are, God is in control of every breath and every heartbeat of yours. There's a story out of merry old England that was only merry for whoever was in control. Because while the Catholics were in control, the Protestants burned. When the Protestants took over, they burned the Catholics at the stake. And in between both of them were the persecuted separatists. Dreadful time in merry old England. Don't know who was in control at the time, doesn't really matter. But one of the officials determined that this heretic should die tomorrow at the stake. And then went off that evening to party with his friends. Cold night, left too late, didn't get home. They found him in the morning. True story. Frozen in the creek bed, up to his waist. God froze the official and freed the persecuted Christian. Wisdom and understanding, priceless for our lives. We need them. We need it. And graduates need it. We pray for those Christians who are God-fearing Christians among a bunch of politicians who are not. Pray hard. They need wisdom. Maybe with that kind of wisdom, someone could tell officials who think that liquor stores and abortion mills are essential and churches are not, a little bit of what true wisdom, because what will you do in the end when your last heartbeat and your last breath is gone? With wisdom and understanding, if you are in medical among people who really only look at it as a way to improve their own bottom line or for the corporation, you're trying to care for people and really serve your Lord by serving them. Treasure loving kindness and prayer. You need the generous gifts of God who gives to all generously without finding fault. If you happen to be in a facility with the elderly these days, or an ombudsman, the go-between the government and the residents, and you feel terrible for the elderly who are virtually under lockdown, supposedly for their health and well-being, for those who really only see the physical, talk about the spiritual. But as one official said recently, I hate my job. I don't have the power to change anything. The government only made suggestions to the facilities and mandates on the churches. We need more wisdom. We need to fear the Lord. And God help you, God bless you, God take you as servant leaders into those situations, heartaches, challenges, to bring to bear the grace and mercy of God that we need more of in real life, where the data and the wisdom meet the hard rock truths of real life with understanding. That's my prayer for servant leaders among the youth. All to have humble hearts with ears, wisdom and knowledge wherever the Lord takes you. Because then in every stage of life, we keep coming to word and sacrament to be humbled in our faith and reminded of a blessed promise that comes out of Psalm 92. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay green and fresh. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.